Hello, everyone, and welcome to our service for the 17th of May. If you're joining us for the first time, my name is John O'Pierce. I'm the rector here, and I want to say thank you for your company. It's great also to welcome all those who regularly join us, especially those dialing in from their phones to access the service. We're so delighted to have you back with us as we worship together. Perhaps you might be able to remember a time in your life when you had a bad experience in attempting to share your faith with someone else. Or indeed, you might have had a bad experience of someone trying to share their faith with you. And maybe rather than it being a blessing, it was something that felt very off-putting. And yet, it is a really important thing to do, to pass on the reason to others for our hope and our faith in Jesus. And yet, we have to be honest and acknowledge that we find it difficult to do this. And that's what we're going to be looking at in our service today. And we're going to begin our worship with a wonderful hymn that tells us we have a gospel to proclaim. Bible reading today comes from the first letter of St. Peter in the third chapter, beginning to read at the 8th verse. And this Bible reading that we're going to be looking at today has some really powerful principles about how we should relate to one another and also how we should engage with others about our Christian beliefs. I know that I have a lot to learn in this whole area myself, and I hope that you will find the Bible reading and the service today helpful. So reading from the first letter of St. Peter in the third chapter and beginning to read at verse 8. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Here ends our Bible reading. And may I speak today in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Some time ago, I remember a conversation I had with a friend of mine who, rather like myself, struggled to share his faith openly and honestly with his neighbors. And usually the relationships that my friend had with his neighbors were very good. Their children got on well together and they played in each other's gardens. They would sometimes share a barbecue or a drink together. But it was only when the subject of church and faith turned up that things tended to go downhill. My friend would sometimes invite his neighbors to church services and events. And while they would be polite, they would always decline those invitations. And eventually one day, after another invitation was received and declined, the neighbor said to my friend, "I wish you wouldn't invite us anymore. It's just not something we have an interest in." And I want you to bear in mind that this was a conversation that took place pre-lockdown, as you listen to what he said to my friend. He said to my friend, "There is nothing I can see in your life that is different from mine, apart from this hour on a Sunday." He said, "We both want our kids to do well at school. We both work really hard during the week in demanding jobs. And while you go off on a Sunday morning to sing hymns and to read the Bible, I wash my car or I cut the grass. But essentially, there is nothing that I see as part of your life that I would want as part of mine." Whew. That's a pretty hard one to answer, isn't it? We want to reach out, but maybe our lives don't demonstrate too much of what Christ means to us. Now, while the early church experienced much in the way of persecution, and that persecution is a difficult reality in certain parts of our world today, for the most part, here in the Western world, the biggest challenge that we face when it comes to sharing our faith in Jesus is apathy and a total indifference to the Christian gospel. The Apostle Peter was writing this letter that our Bible reading came from to Christians who were going through terrible persecution in Asia Minor. Christians were suffering and even being martyred for the faith. And as St. Peter tried to encourage these early Christians, he said these words to them in verse 15. He said, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." And so I wonder, what would you say today? What would I say today? If someone came up to us and said, "We know that you go to church. Can you tell us why you believe in church? Can you tell us why you believe in Jesus? Can you tell us what difference does all of this stuff make to your life?" And of course, we're living right now through a season when people are genuinely curious and they're asking lots of questions. And while Google might be most people's first port of call with the questions, what if they started directing their religious questions towards you if they knew that that was an important part of your life? Or what if your child or your grandchild were to say to you that they don't want to go to church anymore and they believe it's a total waste of time? How would you answer them? Well, I know that lots of people would give very different answers to those very difficult and challenging questions. And I'm going to make a few suggestions of my own in a moment. But Peter says something in this letter that I believe is worthy of all our attention in the verses that we read today. He says in verse 15, "When you give a reason for the hope that you have, do it with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience." And it's not always easy to state our Christian beliefs with gentleness and respect. And sometimes, whenever I hear Christians engaging in public debate about issues of politics and morality, and sometimes when I have debates like that myself with those who I know, sometimes we are our own worst enemies. We seek to insult our opponents, or we come across as being arrogant and judgmental with no compassion or no sense of empathy for the other person's position in our very black and white world. I always think Jesus ought to be our first point of reference. And when I see how he spoke with people in the Gospels, he never browbeat people into the kingdom of God. But Jesus unquestionably had an authority, he had a persuasiveness, he had a grace in his dealings with people that left them longing for more of what he had in his spiritual life. So what then are the reasons for the hope that I have in my heart today? Well, first of all, I want to suggest to you the reason for the hope that I have in my heart lies with the promises of God as revealed or found in the Holy Scriptures. Whenever I am told of God's love and his faithfulness, I'm not just compelled by the words of Scripture, but I'm also moved by the action of God in sending his only Son, Jesus, to die for my sins upon the cross. Whenever we gather for Holy Communion, which sadly we're not permitted to do at the present time, we get in that service a very tangible sense of how God's love transferred into action. And as I receive the benefits of that action through Holy Communion, I'm filled with joy and thanksgiving. But it's really important to trust those promises of God revealed to us in the Scriptures, because they give us such hope, not just for this life, but for a life beyond this life. The second reason for my hope today is the experience of those who've gone before me, holding the faith and showing me through their words and deeds the difference that their faith has made in their lives. One of the truly beautiful privileges of what I do as a minister of the gospel is that I get to walk alongside people in times of serious illness and indeed in the approach to death. And whenever you meet someone who has the hope of heaven in their heart, it has such a powerful impact upon you. They approach death not as the end, but as a new beginning in God's nearer presence. And they look forward to their bodies, which might at the present time be affected by sickness and infirmity, being made new. And when you see this hope and this faith-filled approach, I have to say that it gives me tremendous hope and courage, even in the midst of the present struggles and challenges. Now, the third and the final reason for my hope is the promised gift of God's Holy Spirit. And we're going to be thinking about the Holy Spirit in our services in the coming weeks. But essentially, the Holy Spirit is that power of God that lives inside those who believe in Jesus and have put their trust in him. And it's a power that's at work within us, transforming our character to make us more like Jesus. You see, whenever I look at Jesus' actions, and when I look and hear his teaching in the Gospels, when I see the way he treated people, and I know of my own sinful attitudes, there's a sense in which I want more of him in my life. I need more of him in my life. And the more of him that impacts me, the better equipped I will be to have a positive impact on the world. So I want to encourage you today, please, along with me, myself, to take those opportunities that might increasingly come our way at the present time to share some of the reasons for the hope that we have within us, and also to pray in a humble and genuine way for his wisdom, for his grace, and for his compassion as we seek to share his love with others. Let us pray. Lord, we want to thank you today for all those people over the years who have shared their faith with us. And so we pray with thanksgiving today for people like our parents and grandparents. We give thanks for our siblings, our leaders from youth organizations, our Sunday school teachers. We give thanks too for Christian teachers in schools. We give thanks for our work colleagues and friends who have shared their hope and their faith with us in a way that we found compelling and pointed us to your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that in our own lives, we too would be pointers to Jesus. Help us to trust you with our whole heart. Help us to follow you in our daily lives. Help us to allow more and more of your Holy Spirit to guide and to direct our thinking, our actions, and our words. And may we be given courage, compassion, gentleness, and respect as we seek to share your hope, your love, with those that we come in contact with. We ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We also want to pray today, Lord, for the nations of the world. We pray for the leaders of the nations as they seek your wisdom and your guidance about the whole process of coming out of lockdown. We pray for medical advisors and chief medical officers, and we pray for the best scientific research to guide those plans and roadmaps that many governments are creating in trying to restore our society to a new kind of normal. We pray today for the workers who will be returning to work soon after a time of furlough, and we pray for the proper equipment and social distancing measures to be in place that people may return to work safely. We pray too for the owners and employees of small businesses who are still anxiously awaiting to reopen and who wonder if they will survive. We pray that all support and resources that are needed would become available to them. We pray too for all who continue to work on the front line in all the stresses and anxieties they face on a daily basis. We pray for your strength and support in the pressures of their work. And we pray too for their families at a very anxious time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We also want to take some time this morning just to pray in a little time of quietness for those who are particularly in our thoughts or on our hearts as we listen to this service today. We pray for those who are sick at home, in hospital or in nursing homes, and for those who care for them. We pray too for all who have been bereaved, and in the sadness and difficulty of their loss at this particularly challenging time, we pray, Lord, for your comfort and strength and grace to uphold them. So just in the quietness, let's bring those situations and people who are very present in our thoughts into the healing presence of God in a quiet moment. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now may God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, raise you up to walk with him in the newness of his risen life. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you today and forevermore. Amen. Just before we sing our closing hymn, can I say again a big thank you to you for joining with us in our worship today? Also wanted to alert people to the fact that next week we celebrate Ascension Thursday, and there will be a special service for Ascension Day that will be available on our website and on the church's Facebook page. There'll also be the opportunity to dial in to hear that service. And Ascension is going to mark the beginning of 10 days of special events in our diocese, and you will find details of those events on the church website and Facebook page. Church's website is www.stfinians.org. Thank you again for joining with us in our service today. And as we draw our service to a close, we're going to sing the hymn, I Will Sing the Wondrous Story.
I will sing the
See.